Yesterday was nothing special. We left off in the middle. We always leave off in the middle. But we left off in the middle of a sentence. We learn Masech HaShabbos Talmud Bavli Ayin Hey Omer Aleph. The last two lines in Tosfos Dibra Maschal Hatzod Chalozon. We really didn't start this Gemara yet, but we've been learning Gemara Ayin Dalet on the base. And Gemara said, where did you have kosher or matir in the Mishkan? So the Gemara says she came Sodi Chalozon kosher and matir when they made the nets, the tie knots and untie knots. So we read a little bit this Gemara. So Tosfos says Tzorachion, they don't know how to resolve the apparent contradiction between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi, that the Talmud Bavli says Beferish, the Talmud Bavli quotes a Tasefta, Atzot Chalazon is in violation, it says Tasefta Periktes, Atzot Chalazon is in violation of Tzedo, is Chayv Chatas and Veloha Deraisa. And the Talmud Yerushalmi Mashma, the Tzot Chalazon, Lai Mechayim Shem Tzedo, there's no violation of Tzedo. So we were discussing this contradiction. So we mentioned yesterday that many assume in recent years, like Rav Herzog, that the Chalozon is not a fish that swims around, that runs around, that has freedom of motion. It's really a little snail, and it doesn't go anywhere. So the Yerushalmi is right. What if you have a turtle? The Mishnah Berurah talks about it. What if you have a turtle that's standing there in the street, and it's going to go, it'll take 5 hours till it moves 5 inches. It goes an inch an hour. So that's nitzad v'yomid. There's no malacha of tzeid on that. So if you have a little snail that's sitting on the banks of the Mediterranean, that's sitting in the sand, Rashi on Parshas V'zayis HaBracha comments, one of the Shvatim was blessed that he's going to have Sfune Tmunecho. He's going to have the things that are hidden. Zvulun was blessed with Sfune Tmunecho, the things that are hidden in the sand. What are the things hidden in the sand? So Rashi quotes from the Gemara that it refers to the Chalozon. So if the Chalozon is caught in the sand, it's not going to go anywhere. So there's no malacha of tzeda there. It's not going to move. It's like a turtle. It's nitzad v'yayme. So then there's no malacha of tzeda. So the Yerushalmi makes very good sense. Hatzot Chalozon l'machayim shim tzeda, because it didn't have any freedom before. And when the Babli quotes the Tosefta that there is tzeda on the Chalozon, so yesterday a few people said, yeah, of course, if the Chalozon is not washed up on the banks of the Mediterranean, it's you have to go scuba diving to go to the bottom of the sea in order to find it. So that's a malach of tzeda. You have to go in a uniform and a whole outfit and a whole spiel. So then it will be a malach of tzeda. So there isn't really a contradiction. If you assume that the Chalozon is this snail, there's no contradiction between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi. Sometimes there will be a malach of tzeda, sometimes there won't be a malach of tzeda.
Why would that be? Let's say if the snail's floating in the water and it's moving as well through the water, that's tzad. If it's just on the bottom of the ocean, so then let's say
you can't see
turtle, which is down the bottom. So I have to walk down the bottom to get the turtle. So that wouldn't be tzad. Even though I have to go again.
I don't think that. No, because the people are near the turtle see that it needs to be made.
I was on the bottom of the sea. It would be also.
But nobody lives on the bottom of the sea. People live on the dry land. So as far as all the human beings are concerned, the thing is not needs to be made. You have to go down and get it. There is a Gemara. Rashi always quotes that Gemara. The Gemara says that the Chalozon is Oyle Echad L'Shiv M'Shona. Once every 7 years it comes up. Not even once every 7 years. But when the Trelis people from the Trelis company go to buy Chalozon, they get it every day. They sell it in Greece and Italy every day. People eat it for breakfast every morning, these snails. What does the Gemara mean that it's Oyla Echad L'Shiv M'Shona? So it means once in every 70 years, there's some kind of a storm that washes up these snails on the beach, on the dry land. So you don't have to go scuba diving. You don't have to go fishing here. They used to make nets in order to catch these. They did kosher and matir. She came to the Chalozon and kosher matir how to make nets. But if the ocean is going to wash it up on the beach, on the dry land, and the snails are going to be in the sand, so then you don't need the nets. So the Pashup Shat is once every 70 years, the other gear said once every 7 years, there's such a storm, and a lot of these Chalozonis are washed up on the dry land in the sand. That's what it means. It doesn't mean somebody published a whole pamphlet that it's obvious that these snails are not the correct chalazon, because the chalazon is an animal that lives over 70 years, because the Gemara says that it comes up once every 70 years. These snails don't live more than 70 years. That's what it means. That it's an animal that lives over 70 years and it comes up after 70 years. No. There are chalazonis all over the place. Once every 70 years, or once every 7 years, they're washed up on the beach, and you can catch them without scuba diving, without going fishing for them. Doesn't mean that it's 70 years old. One rabbi told me that he was prepared to put on tchelis on his talus, but then he read the sesi and he was convinced that it can't be, because that the snails don't live 70 years. I don't think that's what the Gemara meant at all. Oilech of the Shirim Shana means that it's like a bear that hides in a cave and it comes out once every 70 years. I don't think it means that at all. Okay, we're going to have to discuss more about the chalazon and about the tchelis when we get to Ayin Hamed Aleph. So far we're still on Ayin Dalet on the base. Okay. With three lines from the bottom, the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah. The Mishnah listed off all of the lamentas of his melochas, and it has hatefer shtei tviris. What does it mean, hatefer shtei tviris? If a person has cloth, and you sew together, you stitch together the two pieces of cloth, so that's a violation. That's a violation of tofer. Yesterday we were discussing a Gemara. Somebody found the Gemara for us. I think it was Nun Aleph Amud Aleph, about washing dirty dishes. You're permitted to wash dirty dishes on Shabbos, and we pointed out it's not a violation of memachek, even though you make a smooth surface, because you're not removing part of the dish to make the smooth surface. There's dirt that's stuck on top of the dish, so that's not. That's why it's not memachek. Where was that? That was on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Nun Amud Aleph. Nun Amud Aleph. Yeah. So you're permitted to wash off the dirt from the plates. So the Egle Tal has a discussion of this. Why shouldn't it be a violation of Malabain? If you have dirty clothing and you soak it in water and you wash it out in the river or in a washing machine, so there's a Malacha Malabain. So why isn't there an Issa? Why isn't there a prohibition on Malabain on washing dirty dishes?
The surface. Only on the surface.
So he answers that. That's what David Nezi answers. Let's say I have a little dirt on the surface of the garment, and I just go like this, and it falls off. So it's in Shulchan Aruch that that's not a problem. The only time it's a problem on Malabin is if the dirt is really stuck into the garment and it's ingrained in the cloth. But if it's just on the surface, you have a feather on the surface, and you go like this, and it falls off. You have dandruff. Go like this, and it falls off. So it's not ingrained, so there's not an Iser of Malabin. So that's what the Avnei Nezer has a discussion. What if you have a trefa kli and you want to do hagola, where the trefa is balua in the kli? It's not stam on the surface of the kli. Is it permissible to do hagola on yontif? On Shabbos, what are you going to do hagola? You're not allowed to cook any food in the kli. But let's say on yontif, you want to cook some food, and you have a kli that became trefa. Would it be permissible to do hagola? So he wants to raise the possibility that maybe to do hagola on a trefa kli should be a violation of malabin. Who says that malabin is only on clothing where it gets absorbed? If you have a trefa kli that was bolei the trefas in the defana kli, maybe that's also malabin. So it's based on that, Abnei Nezer was written by the same author as the Egle Tal. So in the first 11 malachas in Sidur the Pas from Chori Zareh till Ofer, and then he has Gozes, the last one he has. The first, he has 11 Malachas, then he did Gozes. So those he completed, and he put out his Sefer Egle Tal. And though the other Malachas, which he started to prepare, but he never completed, so he has the beginnings of all of the essays printed in Avnei Nezer, in the Chuvas Avnei Nezer. So in Avnei Nezer, he has this essay when he talks about Malabin. So it's based on that Avnei Nezer, who came up with this Chiddush, that maybe it's a Malacha Malabin, to kasher a trefa kli, to do hagola a trefa kli on a yontif, that just a few years ago someone in Eretz Yisrael came up with a whole chiddush that if you have instead of wearing eyeglasses like this, that people put things into their eyes, what do you call them? Contact lenses. So these contact lenses apparently absorb dirt into them, so when you soak them in detergent, in the special detergent that they have, so it doesn't only remove the dirt on the surface, they're porous, and it removes the dirt that's balua inside. It's like hagolah. It's like hagolah. The summer came up with this chiddush that it should be prohibited. It should be a real malacha deraisa, possibly of malabein, to wash out the contact lenses with the special fluid, with the special cleansing fluid that they sell with it, because the contact lenses are plastic and they're porous, and the blea of the filth gets out that's absorbed in the kli. If you accept what the Avnei Nezer said, that's not such a giant step, but best it. Sounds like it's pretty similar.
Is there a required shear for something like that?
How dirty does it have to be?
Is there like a shear for leaving?
Should be a shear. I don't know. We better learn some more. We better find out what the shear.
Doesn't the living have to be noticeable? That's the idea. You're loving you. You're making it clean.
Mm-hmm.
This is not. You don't see any.
I don't have contact lenses. I don't know. People say that when they wear the dirty contact lenses, they can't see as well. And after they cleanse it, then they can't see better. I don't know.
Even on the scaly, the loving. I mean.
In the tray for clean, it's not visible. Yeah. Yeah, by us it's problematic because most of our kelim are stainless steel. The stainless steel is balea less than glass. And the Mechaber writes that glass is not balea. You can have the same dishes for fleshik and milchik because it's simply, balea is so insignificant, it's a mashahu de mashahu. And I think they made their research, they made studies on it, so they say the stainless steel is even balea less than glass. Even the Ramah was machmer on the glass, perhaps he would be mekel on the stainless steel. So we're waiting to have a meeting of all of the rabbanim of all the kashrus organizations of the world. When Moshiach comes, maybe he'll succeed in making such a meeting. So we're waiting to have such a meeting that everyone should get together and determine that stainless steel is you don't have to kasha. But stainless steel is not balea. That's what they say. We act as if it is balea, but we all know that it's not balea.
They say that when you use contact solution. So then you see just as well if you whether you put it or not, just it's not good for your eyes if you don't use contact. It hurts with them in a little bit, but after that it's like you see the exact same whether you're putting contact solution or not.
So the difference is whether it's whether it's painful when you put it in.
It just lubricates it. Basically, uh-huh. It keeps it lubricated so that it stays properly on your eye.
Ah, I mean it doesn't remove the dirt.
Maybe it does, but nothing that's noticeable.
Uh-huh. Yeah, if it's not noticeable, it shouldn't be a malach. Yeah. I don't know. That's a strong point. Can something be labeled as a malach if it's not noticeable? It's not nikalai.
Isn't it
machlekes
if a baguette is clean and you put it in water, whether that's
kibbutz? Yeah. That we'll have to learn in Tosfos. Yeah, we'll have to learn it. Okay, so the Gemara in the bottom of Ayin Dalet on the day is HaTofer Shtei Tefirot. The Gemara is just listening off from the Mishnah. That there's a malacha of tofer. So the original tofer is if you have two pieces of cloth and you stitch them together with thread. What if you have, years ago, when I had babies, all of my babies are all, they have their own babies. So when I had the first couple of babies, there was no such thing as Pampers. They had real diapers, and you had to put a diaper pin on the edge of the diaper. So that's a shaila. Is that a violation of tofer? So the Korban Nisanal on the bottom of the Rosh has a Chiddush. He thinks that putting a diaper pin is also Tofer. Not only is it Tofer, if you stitch together two pieces of cloth with a thread that everything blends in to be one, even if you have a diaper pin, which is metal, and the two pieces of cloth are held together, that's also Tofer. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. He's not so convinced that the Korban Nisanal is right. He thinks that it's only toifer if everything blends in together. If you stitch together two pieces of cloth with a piece of thread, and the cloth is made from thread, so that's a malach of toifer. But if you have a diaper pin, it doesn't really blend in. The metal diaper pin doesn't blend in. So he thinks that it's a machlokes on a level of deraisa, but that's a malach of toifer. Rav Moshe thinks that that's not toifer. The Rambam has a famous line, the Rambam has a Chiddush, and none of the Noisekelim don't know exactly what the Makar is. Rambam writes a Chiddush, if you have two pieces of paper and you glue them together, Hamadabik Niyoris Yachad, one is in violation of Tofer. Or if you have an envelope that's sealed, that's glued, the flap on the back is sealed, and it's glued to the envelope, and then you open it, so that would be Korea. That would be Korea. Korea. Almanas litvor is a malacha. Karea shalal almanas litvor is a question. What's a din of karea shalal almanas litvor? So we learned already. There was a Tosfos And Ayin Gimel Amud Beis Dibur Maschot Tzorach Leitzim. Let's say I have an envelope at home and I want to read the letter that's inside the envelope. Sometimes you're not allowed to read letters on Shabbos. Let's say a business letter. You're not supposed to read on Shabbos. That's it. Divrei Torah. Okay. But he can't get to read the letter unless he's going to open up the envelope. So if you open the envelope, if Hamadabik Niyoris, the Rambam says, if you glue together two pieces of paper, that's a Malacha of Tofer. So if you separate the two pieces that are glued together, that should be a Malacha of Korea. So what's the din of Korea? So Tosis writes, Tzorch Le'etzim, Tosis on Angimel on the base, Midid Dehabi HaKorea Almanas Litvor, that there's no Malacha at all. Tosis says, the Korea Shalei Almanas Litvor, Bichlal, there's no Malacha. The definition of Korea is Almanas Litvor. This Korea Shalei Almanas Litvor is not a Malacha at all. It's not because it's Mekalkel. I ripped the Begit to pieces, it's Mekalkel. Nothing to do, even if you would be Mesakein, Kareya Shlamanas Litva is not a malacha. So Rabbi Kivege asks on Taisvis, the Koshali, Misugi de la Kamon, Daf, that's a misprint, it's not Kuv Dalet. What Daf is it? It's not Kuv Dalet. The Gemara discusses one who rips Kriya on Shabbos. Here, Kuf, Kuf, Heyomibes. Kuf Heyomibes. So somebody dies on Shabbos, and one of the relatives rips Kriya on Shabbos. You're not supposed to rip Kriya. Not on Shabbos, not on Yom Tov. Chalamayid, the Mishnah says one does rip Kriya. In Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah has a minig. Ramah quotes that some communities have a minig, that on Chalamayid, one only rips Kriya alovi v'alimayid, if one of the parents passed away. But any other relative dies, you don't rip Kriya Chalamayid. So Ramah says those who have such a minig should follow the minig, but that's not the generally accepted minig. That's not the correct. The more correct practice is that Chalamayit one does rip Kriya. Mission just says, if you're volunteering Kriya, if a dear friend died and the person wants to volunteer to rip Kriya, it's not Mechliv, it's not one of their relatives. So then the Mishnah says, Ein Korim Ela Kroiv Ob Shalmeis. You don't volunteer to rip Kriya on Chalamayit. Even if on the weekdays you would volunteer, Chalamayit you don't volunteer. But whoever is Mechliv to rip Kriya, rips Kriya on Chalamayit, even if it's not Aviv Yima. That's the Pashtus like that. By the Kaislam Aravi, the Magar Aram says, if you visit the Kaislam Aravi in Chalamayit, you don't rip Kriya, even though you rip Kriya, even though the Gemara says, Kriya Luchud, Bavelos Luchud, Kriya is not a form of Avelos. Even though one does not observe Avelos on Chalamayit, let's say, Hakoyveres Mesa Beregel, somebody dies and they bury him on Chalamayit. So the Shiva doesn't begin until after Yom Tov is over, until after the whole Yom Tov is over. One doesn't observe Shiva on Chalamayit, nonetheless, one does rip Kriya, because Kriya Luchud, Bavelos Luchud, Kriya, it's not a form of Nihu Gavelus, but the Magen Avram claims that Kriya on the Kaisla Maravi is a form of Nihu Gavelus. So that you don't rip Kriya on Chalamayit. If you haven't been by the Kaisla in 30 days, so you rip Kriya. So if it's on Chalamayit, you don't rip Kriya. That's where the whole mistake comes from. And Erev Pesach after Chatzos, there's a Machloikis HaRishanim. Erev Pesach after Chatzos is a Yontif. It's we call Pesach, the Yontif of Pesach, and Chumash. What we call Pesach is called Chagamatzis. And Chagah Pesach is Erev Pesach in the afternoon when you shech the Korban Pesach. That's what the Vilna Gaon says. Is look in Parshas Emor. That's what it says. You have Yontav Pesach and then Yontav Chagamatzis. Yontav Pesach, Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Erev Pesach after Chatzos is a machlekes Harishonim, Tosfos and the Ozeh Ruach, where the one observes Avelos. So the Ramah Paskins Halacha Dibra Mekel Ba'ovel. Whenever there's a machlokes in Hilchas Avelos, we always go to Kula, even if it's Yochid Keneged Rabbim. Here, the Balei HaTosfos have a machlokes with the Ozeh Ruach, so the Pashtus is, the Tosfos is more reliable. Tosfos should be represent the majority opinion. So even though Tosfos says, Erev Pesach after Chatzos, one does observe Avelos, so the Ramah says, in the end of Yerei Day, we follow the Ozeh Ruach L'Hakula, there's no Avelos on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. So what if someone dies and you don't rip Kriya? No, so it's like Chalamayit. You don't observe Avelos, but one does rip Kriya. But Kriya for the Kaislam Aravi, you wouldn't rip. Like the Magen Avraham says, Kriya for the Kaislam Aravi is a Nihu Gavelos, so you shouldn't rip that Kriya on Chalamayit. Whenever one wouldn't observe Avelos. Since we don't observe Avelos, and Erev Pesach after Chatzos, like the Ozeh Ruach, so we wouldn't rip Kriya. So it's from Erev Pesach after Chatzos that people extrapolated, and they developed a minig, which is a minig b'tos, and on every Erev Shabbos, on every Erev Yantav after Chatzos, you don't rip Kriya by the Kaislam Maror. A lot of people have that practice, every Erev Pesach, every Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. They call it quits, they terminate the Shiva. So the Achreinim say it's a mistake. It's a carryover from Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach itself is a machlekes Tosfos in the Ozeh Ruach. So So the Ramah paskens halacha k'deva mekel ba'avul, we paskin like the Ozeruah, that one does not observe avelus on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. But every other Erev Shabbos, every other Erev Yom Tov after Chatzos, one does observe avelus. For many years, Rabbi Schwab used to be the rabbi in Breuer's community here in the neighborhood. So the Balabatim all knew when they were sitting Shiva, he would always come to me, Menachem Oval, Erev Shabbos after Chatzos, and tell him you have to observe Avelis till the end of the day. That's only Erev Pesach. The Pischei Tshuva on Yeridei points that out. That's a mistake that people make. So this same mistake was carried over to the Rip in Kriya, and Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontav, Erev Pesach after Chatzos. Since we follow the opinion of the Ramor, quotes the opinion of the Ozeruah, we follow the Ozeruah, there's no Avelis, there's no Avelis. You don't rip Kriya by the Kosel HaMarabi, because Kriya by the Kosel HaMarabi is a Nil Gavelis. That's why the Magen Avraham says that even though children before Bar Mitzvah, there's a machlokes, whether there's a din of chinuch, they have to observe mitzvahs deraisa and mitzvahs derabbanan. Is there a din of chinuch and avelus? If a relative dies, would you encourage the young children before Bar Mitzvah that they should observe avelus? So that's a machlokes hagoinim. And the psak and shulchan aruch is that there's no chinuch. If the children don't want to observe avelus, they can go to cheder, let them go to school and learn. But nonetheless, even though there's no chinuch and avelus, that's why we pass no chinuch and avelus for whatever reason, but there is chinuch and rip in Kriya. A kotner sheyegil chinuch, he understands that a relative died. He's supposed to be sad, so you have to train him. He should rip Kriya. So why does he have to rip Kriya if there's no avelus? The answer is Kriya luchud v'avelus luchud. Kriya is not a niyug avelus. Even though there's no niyug avelus, he does rip Kriya. But the Magen Avraham says that Kriya by the Kosel Ma'arabi is a niyug avelus. So that's why the Magen Avraham also says that children before Bar Mitzvah don't have to rip Kriya when they visit the Kosel HaMarav, because there's no chinuch and avelus. And Kriya by the Kosel is Kriya by Yerushalayim, Bechorbanim, or Yehuda, Bechorbanim. All of these, the three dinim of Kriya. The most chamadika din of Kriya is on the Makam HaMikdosh, Bechorbanim. Then there's a slightly lower, is Yerushalayim, Bechorbanim. Then you have our Yehuda, Bechorbanim. So those three dinim of Kriya, those are Nihugav Avelus. So children before Bar Mitzvah don't have to rip those Kriyas. Then after he comes by mitzvah, he doesn't have to rip Kriya either. He just saw the Kosel HaMarabi 10 days ago. If you see the Kosel HaMarabi within 30 days, so you don't have to rip Kriya again. So if the child never ripped Kriya, Bekatnusoy, that's why many people who live in Yerushalayim, they were born there. So Bekatnusam, there's no Chinuch and Kriya on the Kosel HaMarabi, because that's Chinuch and Avelus, no Chinuch and Avelus. And then after they became by mitzvah, it was within 30 days since they saw the Kosel HaMarabi last. So they didn't say that all of their lives they don't have to rip Kriya. But the B'nai Chutz Lords who come to visit, we didn't see the Kosel HaMarabi. So we have to rip Kriya on the Mokam of the Kosel HaMarabi. So getting back again, so here, Tosis writes on Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Tosis makes a statement that the definition, the description of the Malacha of Kriya has to be Kriya Almanas Litva. It's not because you need Almanas Litva that it shouldn't be Mekalkal. No, that's the Tzuras HaMalacha is Hachana Litvira. So Rabbi Kivega says, it's kuf hey on the base. What the Gemara discusses, a person ripping Kriya on Shabbos, he's not supposed to rip Kriya on Shabbos, it's a malacha. So the Gemara says that sometimes it'll be a malacha, but it's not hachon letfir. It's not that he's ripping Kriya in order to sell, but I was going to throw out the jacket afterwards. So you see in the Gemara that Kriya per se is a malacha, just that usually if you're Kriya, it's mekalkal. If you're Kriya Almanas Litvor, then it's Mesaken. If a person is fulfilling a mitzvah by ripping the Kriya because a relative died, so then it is Mesaken. So that's Rabbi Kivega's tiny against Taisa. So that's the Shaila here. The person has an envelope that's sealed, and the Rambam says that gluing together the two pieces of paper is Teifer, and separating two pieces of paper that are glued together is Kriya. So true, it's not Kriya Almanas Litvor. He's not ripping open the envelope in order to reseal it. He's going to throw the whole envelope in the garbage. But still, we don't really accept that line in Tosfos, that the definition of Kriya is Hachana Litvira. And if you're not Almanas Litvira, there's no Malacha at all. No. Sometimes Kriya is a Malacha. Kriya B'meisoi, the Gemara, the Mishnah, and Kuf Heim, and Beis. And the whole Gemara, sometimes Kriya per se is a Malacha. So that's what the Chacham Tzvi has a discussion. If a person rips open an envelope in order to read what's inside, so that's a Malacha of Kriya. He wants to know, is that a Malacha Tzvicha L'Gufa or a Malacha Shein Tzvicha L'Gufa? He's using the kera in order to read what's inside. He's not actually going to use the kera. Is that like chayfer guma? Then it's our chedal afara. He's ripping open the envelope. He's separating the flap from the envelope where it's glued closed. He's separating in order to read the letter inside. So the Chacham Tzvi thinks that that's a malacha tzricha legufa. And others disagree. That's not called tzricha legufa. That's ein tzricha legufa. Malacha shein tzricha legufa. But that's the Rambam. That's the Shabbat. None of the Nosei Kelim on the page give any maramokim for the Rambam. It's not in Tosefta. Where did the Rambam get it from? That gluing together two papers is a malacha of tofer, and separating two pieces of paper that are glued together is a malacha of korea. So on the side of the new Rambams, they tell you to look at Merkavas HaMishnah. He's the only one who gives a mokka. He finally gives a mokka from Hilchas Tfilin. The Gemara says, if you have Shema, V'yoyim Shema, whatever, the Dalet Parshios, are written on different pieces of parchment, you have to stitch them together. Or if you glue them together, it's also considered Tofu Yachad. So the Rambam understood, he said, that's the only mokka that he can think of. That's the only mokka he can think of. So he said, the Rambam apparently understood from that Gemara, Menachas, by Tfilin, that if the things are glued together and they blend in to be one, that's the exact same thing. Stitching them together, sewing them together.
Is there any difference of tape, like scotch tape versus glue? I don't know if they're together, it's easy to separate them.
Have it on envelopes. That's like glue
Sometimes it's easier to separate.
It's made so that it shouldn't tear. Just separate. Have it in bars of candy.
Yeah, years ago, every Jewish religious home used to have a kettle of tea on Shabbos on top of the blech. And the kettle of tea had a spout. And there would always be hot steam coming up from the spout if the tea would be hot enough. So when people wanted to open up envelopes, they always assumed the iser of opening the envelope is because you're going to rip it. But if you hold it by the spout of the tea kettle, so the steam is going to come, is going to soften everything, you'll succeed in opening up the flap without ripping anything. So that's a mistake. It's the same aloha of Korea. Whether you rip or you just separate. The Rambam doesn't say you have to rip apart the things. If you have two pieces of paper that are glued together, if it's not so well glued together, it's just held together. Let's say you put these tabs on, you put markers on pieces of paper, you put a marker on a page, and you only plan to leave it, you're going to give a lecture, a shiur or something, then you're going to take it off within 24 hours. So that's a question. Maybe that's aroi. Maybe that's not a violation of tofer. Or Korea, or a lot of times you have the envelopes where it's not that you lick the glue on the flap, it closes and then it opens easily. So maybe it's aroi. I don't know. You have to figure out. Rav Moshe gave the klal. Not everybody agrees with Rav Moshe, but it sounds very reasonable. Rav Moshe's position sounds more reasonable than his Balei Plukta. He extrapolated from kosher that sometimes kosher is malacha deraisa, sometimes is the rabban, and sometimes het the gamma. So he said, if it's kesher shal kayama, really shal kayama, then it's a malacha deraisa. If it's a little bit shal kayama, then it's an isa derabban. If it's aroi daroi, then it's even mutam derabban. So Moshe extrapolated to all the malachas. All malachas have to be shal kayama. Someone showed us a mishnah, we had kubbeis. Someone said, I think the mishnah is kubbeis on the base. Kol osa malacha b'shabbos, and malachta miskayem is b'shabbos. So the Magen Mishnah understands that that goes on all the malachas. Not everybody agrees with that Magen Mishnah, but that's how he said. We're going to soon talk about it on the next daf. So all the malachas should be shal kayama. If it's a little bit shal kayama, it should be awesome with the rabban. If it's legamri aroi daroi, then it should be muta. So that's a shaila. If you have an envelope that's sealed closed, it's not really glued. It's that type of glue that you can easily open it and easily close it. So maybe that's aroi. Maybe it's aroi daroi. I don't know.
Is there this kind of issue with like diapers, modern diapers, where you put on the flaps and it's closed?
Right, so that's the shaila with the Pampers, the way they have today. So if you put the tab onto the Pamper, it's going to hold so well that when you want to remove it, you're going to be ripping apart part of the plastic of the Pamper. So there is no issue to rip. Mechatech betodu shelo b'mida, that's what we said the Magen Avraham discusses in Hilchas Lulav. A person forgot to wrap together his lulav hadassim and arava, says he permitted to rip off one of the leaves of the lulav in order to wind it around. So he says the pashtu should have been that mechatech betodu shelo b'mida is not an isav at all. Should be hetagomer, and others held that it's an isav mishamar aside, and others held that it's a real isav of the rabban. But the Pashas, let's say, is the first way. The Mechater Batolish is no Issa. So here, just because I'm going to rip open the tab when I want to open up the pamper, that's not really an Issa Mechater. That's not Korea, it's not Mechater. The Pashas is, but the Shaila is, if it's usually very strong adhesive, so when you put it down, and the only way to get it off later on is going to be to rip it, then that should be a violation of Tofer. When you close the pamper, that should be a violation of Tofer. So that's why many recommend that you should try to use up some of the adhesive. It's going to put your finger a few times on the adhesive. My youngest baby is almost 25 already, so I haven't pampered babies in a long, long time. But before you put the adhesive down, the tab down, so if you put your thumb a few times on it, so use up a little bit of the adhesive. If you use it too much, so the whole pamper is going to fall apart. So it's not going to function. But if you use up a little bit of the adhesive, it's not going to be so strong. So then when you want to remove it, so it'll be easily removed. So then we usually assume that that's aroi daroi. Like when you tie a knot. So if you tie a knot, a double knot, let's say, that you plan to untie within a day, so that's assumed that that's heter gomer. We assume that that's heter gomer. That's aroi daroi. We mentioned the Ramah quotes a chumra from the Shulti Gibarim. Shulti Gemarim is on the side of the Rif. And the Ramah doesn't call him Shulti Gemarim, he calls him Hagos Alfasi, because it's Hagos written on the side of the Rif. So the Ramah quotes the Hagos Alfasi, quotes a minig, that you don't make a double knot on Shabbos, even if you plan to untie it within 24 hours. So many communities never had that minig. Or if it's a Shas Hatak, let's say you have baby shoes. When little babies wear shoes, they always untie their shoelaces. You're going to be tying the shoelaces all day long unless you make a double knot, unless you do something. So it's going to be annoying. So whenever there's a shas hatchak, so then we make a lot that minik. Because the mikra then it's really mutter. That's only a minik to be machma, not to make a double knot, even if you plan to untie it within the same day. So that's what's usually assumed by the diapers. Even if you all like the korban nesamel, that you're not allowed to use a diaper pin. Rav Moshe holds that a diaper pin is metal and the diapers are cloth, so it doesn't blend into be one. He holds that it's by definition is not teifer, but the Korban Nesamel thinks that it is teifer. So many say, even if it is teifer, but it's aroi daroi, because you're not going to leave it for more than 24 hours. You're going to change the baby a few times every day. So if it's aroi daroi, it should be muta. Remember, Abar Lichtenstein told us that his wife used to be mekel, that it's aroi daroi, and he was machmas, so he used to put on the diapers with his left hand. And it didn't work so well. It didn't always work. So his wife took over the whole job. Okay. She didn't want to let him die for the baby.
With the envelope, wouldn't it be to conclude in one shelf if you take off the flap?
A tikkun kli?
You're making a usable envelope.
I don't know.
It's not usable, though, because you can't re-adhesive the thing. It's messed up. Mm-hmm. You stick it, how do you use it as an envelope?
I mean, I can use that as an envelope, but not the way originally.
You can't
mail
the same one.
I don't know. It's an interesting question.
So it has
what
a
do
stamp
you say?
On it already. You can't re-stamp it.
Yep.
Why?
You can still use it as an envelope. So is that called Misakan Mona? I don't know. Interesting.
So
if you wash off a dirty plate, we don't say it's Misakan Mona. You can use it now.
Why is the diapers on right now?
When you tie shoelaces, mikradin, if you tie double knot, that's a minik. The Ramah quotes a minik for Nagos Alfasi, not to tie double knot. The Birki Yosef said they never had such a minik. The Chassidim, a lot of Chassidim, when they tie gartle, make double knots on the gartle. They don't have that minik. If you're going to untie it within 24 hours, so that's aroi daroi. That's aroi daroi. Rav Soloveitchik had a suggestion when he learned Masech Shabbos before my time. When I was in high school, they were kibbutzing at the Purim Chagiga. The Rav Soloveitchik thought that using a zipper is a possibility of violation of teifer. So he was makpid to use trousers that only had buttons. Years ago, all the trousers didn't have zippers. They all had buttons. So he was makpid not to buy trousers with a zipper. Yeah, that's shad, but that zipper you're going to open up. Let's say a woman wears a dress and she closes the zipper. She's not going to wear the dress for more than 24 hours. She's going to go to sleep at night. So whenever it's, even if it's teifer, it's not going to be shal kayom. It's not going to be for so long. Less than 24 hours, maybe it's called aroi daroi, like by teifer, and maybe that should be heter gomer, yeah?
You say 24 hours, so Shabbos is 25 hours long, if you're on kind of shoes before you go to sleep, that's fine.
If what? If a person...
Shabbos is 25 hours long.
Yeah.
But if you're on kind of shoes before you go to sleep, by night, so then it's okay, you can tie it again the next day.
Yeah. You take off your shoes Friday night, then you take off your shoes Motzei Shabbos. Yeah. That's the meaning. The meaning is lahakel, to make a double knot. The Ramah has this. He throws in a new chumra. You should never make a double knot, even if you're going to untie it within 24 hours. But Mikra Adin, those who don't have that meaning, so Mikra Adin, less than 24 hours, called Aroi Daroi. So that we assume is Hetagon. See the... Here the Gemara asks Akasha, if you toifesh de tfiris, v'holo kaima, it's going to fall apart, so it's not shel kayama, so it's aroi, so if it's aroi, it's not a melacha deraisa. And for the Gemara, v'hushe koshran, only if you made a kesher afterwards. So the Rishonim ask, if koshran, so it's a melacha of kosher, so what do you need the whole melacha of tofir for? Whoever's going to do tfira is by definition going to be in violation of tofir. So the Rambam writes that the only time you need v'hushe tofran, only if he did shtei tfiris. Let's say he stitched 20 stitches. He did 3 stitches. 3, 4, 5 stitches. Then he says you don't need koshran. You only need koshran if he only did shtei tfiris. Then it's not going to be shal kayom. If he did many stitches, more than 2, he did 3 or more, then you don't need koshran. Yeah, but the Rishonim will ask, why does the Mishnah say tofir shtei tfiris? Every case of a tofir shtei tfiris will only be chayiv. If koshran, so he's already in violation of kosher, so kosher is a malocha. So what do you need? What do you need teifer for? So the Rishonim give different answers. So some Rishonim say, "Enachinam ilav hola yechayv tuchatos yechayv mishum kosher yechayv mishum teifer." And the I think the Reim gives a different teretz. The Reim gives a different teretz. He says, in order to be chayv mishum kosher, you have to make a kesher al gabi kesher. Has to be a kesher shol kayama. In order that the tefira should be shol kayama, you don't need a kesher al gabi kesher. A kesher shenu shol kayama is sufficient to make the tefir into shol kayama. Okay, different. There are more terutzim, but the Rishonim work on that kasha. The Rishonim have 4 different terutzim on that kasha. Once you say behusha kashron, so what do you need the whole melacha of tefir for? The two related malachas are Teifer and Kareah. Kareah is Amanas Litva. Tosfos claimed on the previous daf that Kareah Shel Amanas Litva is not a malacha at all. The Kevega said it's against the Gemara. It's against the whole discussion Kuf Hamid Beis. Kareah Shel Amanas Litva is a malacha, but it's Mekalkal. If it's Amanas Litva, then it's Mesaken. If you have Kareah, well, you are Mesaken without Amanas Litva, so the Gemara says in Kuf Hamid Beis, the fellow will be chayv. Kriya per se is already a malach. So the Gemara says, where was Kriya in the Mishkan? Kriya be Mishkan mihave. And for the Gemara, shekain, yiriya shenafo bo, darna, if a worm ate into one of the yiriyas, so they would rip out part of the yiriya, korim bo, v'toy from my side, they would do korea manaslit. Okay. So they had Kriya in the Mishkan also. Kriya in the Mishkan was korea manaslit for. But nonetheless, Reb Kevega had the Gemara. We assume Kareh Shlamanas Litva is also a malacha, just that's an issue of it shouldn't be Mekalkon. You should make sure that it's Mesaken. Yeah. Then the Gemara has a Chiddush Amar Rav, Amrav Zutra, Batuv Yomar Rav. Rav says, let's say you have the clothing is stitched together, but the whole hem is loose. So you want to pull the thread in order to tighten everything that it should hold together. So you're not really doing the Tfira. The stitches are there already, except that everything is so loose, it's falling apart. So he says, if you do hamaseach, chut shel tfira, if you tighten it, chayiv chatas, that itself is an act of tfira, making it tight, even though you're not making the stitches. Stitches were made prior to Shabbos to make it tight, that it should hold together. That's an act of tfira. Okay. Halayim, what did he say? The Rab said 3 things. So the first thing is a violation of tefir. They're unrelated to each other. All the 3 things are unrelated. And the second thing that he said was, what is Rashi asked the Kasha? Why did Amar Mazucha Batuv Yamarav? Why did he put these 3 things together? They have nothing to do with each other. The Rashi answers, V'hayadeh v'chuli, Hari Tlash Maitza, these 3 members, Shaminu Rav Zutra Meirav Ki Hadodi, he heard them all on the same day. He once attended Rav Shir, and he heard the 3 things in the Shir. The Garcino, and he said them all over together, even though they're totally unrelated. The 3 dinim had nothing to do with each other. So the first din was in Hilchos Shabbos. Second din, Halei Medover Echa Bin Amagush Chai Misa. You're not permitted to learn from a Magush. What is it? Who is a Magush? Who is a Magush? I think Mar has a Machloikis. Megushta, or Amgusha is a machlekes Rav Shmuel. What does the word mean? Chadam Acharashi, one says he's a Balkishuv, Chadam Gidufi. He's an Ovid Avod Azar who's Megadef Es Hashem, who curses Hashem. He's always making fun of the Jewish religion, and Mesis, he's encouraging people to join a different religion, competing religion. So the Gemara says, which Rav Shmuel, which one, who said which way? Which way did Rav say, which way did Shmuel say? What does the word Amgusha mean? Whenever we speak of Amgusha, Amagush, who are we talking about? So the Gemara says, this time I can prove to you the Rav the Omer Gidufe. It must be Rav is the one who says that the Amgusha is not the man who knows Kisha, but rather the one who's a Mesis and Mediach Lavadizar. Why? The Omer Rav Zucha Batuvi Omer Rav, he said, we just had before, he said over the name of Rav, Adoy Medov Rechem in Amagush, Chai Misa, it's an Avera to learn anything from Amagush. If the word magush means a person is a Baal Kishuv, you're permitted, one is permitted to learn Kishuv if he's going to need it for practicing the rabbinate. Love and al-haris, sometimes you have to know Kishuv. It says in the Pasuk, la-silmad la-asayth, in connection with Kishuv. You're not allowed to learn Kishuv to practice Kishuv. Avalat al-lamed la-havin al-haris, if you're going to need it in the rabbinate, then you're permitted to. Right, so the Gemara says that that heter of Lahavin al-Haris only applies to Kishuv and doesn't apply to Avodah Zarah. So the fact that Rav says Alay Medover Echad Min Amagush Chayev Misa is clear evidence that Rav is the one who's using the word Magush in the sense of Gidufe. He's an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah Lahavin al-Haris, the Gemara says, is Asa. Only thing that's Muta Lahavin al-Haris is Kishuv.
What is Kishuv?
No, Kishuv means black magic.
So what, isn't that inherently recognizing that power other than Hashem?
No, he says God created the world in such a way, let's say mix two chemicals together and makes an explosion. So that's not Kishuv, that's chemistry. So there's such a thing as Kishuv, which is black magic. So that's a question. So the Rambam says it doesn't exist. The Rambam says the whole thing is just a sleight of the hand, no such thing as black magic. Everything has to be scientific, and if it's not scientific, then it doesn't exist. And the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam. Says there is such a thing as Kishuv. There is such a thing as Kishuv. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, the Pasuk says in Mishpatim, Mechashefa lo sechaya. A Mechashefa, one who practices Kishuv is Chayv Misa. So the Mishnah in Sanhedrin, you have four series of Mishnayos in a row, Elohein HaNiskol, Elohein HaNisrofim, Elohein HaNachnokin, Elohein HaNarogim, the Arba Mises Bez, Naskilus, Reifa, Erek, V'chenin. So the Mishnah lists off all of the Averis for which you chayv these onshin. So the Mishnah says that a Mechashef gets the death penalty, Mechashef HaLosachai, gets the Misa B'dei Odom. So the Mishnah says it's only if he actually does Kishuf, if he actually accomplishes something. But if he just does Achizas Einayim, if he fools the people into believing that he did something, but he really didn't do anything, you go over and you see it's just a sleight of the hand. He just did magic. He fooled us into believing that he did something. He really didn't. So then he's not Chayv Misa. It's only Chayv Misa if he really changed something. How did he change it? According to the Rambam, everything is a sleight of the hand. There's no such thing as black magic. And if he did it based on chemistry, so that's not Kishuv, that's science. So according to the Rambam, we don't understand exactly. The Rambam Taka holds that there's an Iser on Oiches HaSoinayim. The Rambam says that to do a magic trick is an Iser Deraisa. To do a magic trick, the Rambam has to hold like that. Because according to the Rambam, there is no such thing as black magic. So there's never anything as Kishuv. Yeah, but the problem is the Rambam holds that one who does magic, a magic trick, it looks as if, the rabbit came out from asleep. And then the rabbit turned into a chicken, whatever trick he did, is all the sleight of the hand. So the Rambam says that that's an Isa Deraisa, but they're not Chayv Misa on that. So when are you Chayv Misa? When he really accomplishes something, but he can't. The Rambam says he can't accomplish anything. And if he did accomplish, it means that it's scientific. So scientific is not Kishuv. So the Rambam Shita, we don't understand what it is. The Ramban claims that the Rambam is not correct. He claims that there is such a thing as a black powers, a black magic, which... So why isn't that scientific? So why not scientific? Why? I don't know. So this Gemara, the simple reading of this Gemara is that the only heta lahavin alahayrais is is by kishuf. A rabbi who needs to know kishuf, lahavin al haris, is allowed to study it. But if he's studying avodah zarah, then there's no heter, even lahavin al haris. That's what Rashi says. It's time to gedufi hu hilka called the verb divrei avodah zarah. The histalik me'olav shaloy ashiyachon. He shouldn't try to convince you to worship avodah zarah. So the Rashi learns in the Gemara that al tifnu el alilim, not allowed to display any interest in avodah zarah, is even lahavin al haris. Wow, we usually assume not so. We usually assume that lahavin al haris is even mutter to read avodah zarah. But that's the problem in this Gemara. Unless he say that if he's a mesis, it's worse. Because he wants to convince people to worship avodah zarah. That's why it's awesome. Because this guy's a professional mesis. But Rashi is not that clear like that. Yeah.
Rashi says, "Halomi davarachin namagush." Rashi says, "I feel with the Vartura also the Lomodi."
Yeah.
Sounds like in the yeshiva we have, I would assume some professors who are over there with Zara. So how is that mutter? Is that mutter?
I don't know. Rashi says, what, they're saying Dibre Torah. Now, to learn Dibre Torah, the Gemara says, Tori Rakshim Appeal, Ke Malach Hashem Tzvokasu. The Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Malachi. Where's that Pasuk in Malachi, I think? Ke Malach Hashem Tzvokasu. So the Gemara has a comment in Chagiga, the Marab Dharma Malach Hashem Tzvokasu, Rakshim Torah Appeal, Im Lavali Rakshim. You shouldn't talk in learning from a person who's not angelic. You shouldn't hear Dibre Torah from a person who's a Balabar. Let's just tell you a translation of a word. Let's say Jastrow. Jastrow was a conservative rabbi in America who just gives you translations of the words. Every so often he has a mistranslation. I don't think he did it on purpose. Lachshel people. Someone published a whole essay. Some of the new editions of Jastrow, they have this whole essay by Balta Halpern. Balta Halpern lived in London. He married Moshe Schneider's daughter. He was in Schneider's yeshiva, which closed down 30 years ago. So this about to happen was a big kibbutzah, so he a character with a capital K. So he wrote a whole essay explaining why no one should use Jastrow. Because Jastrow has apikursis. What's apikursis? So he has, the Gemara says in Masech HaShabbos earlier, in Perek Lamed Madlikin, that the menorah had a miracle, that the Ner Maravi and the menorah, that cup, they put in oil, the same amount of oil as they put in the other six containers on top of the menorah. There were seven containers. And and he lit that Ner Maravi first. And then when he came in the morning, all the other Neris were out. The Ner Maravi burnt longer than the Ner Maravi burnt all day long. So it was a miracle, the Gemara says it was a miracle that it burnt so long. So Jastrow mistranslates, says, he put in so much oil in the Ner Maravi, equivalent to all of the other six containers together. So then there's no miracle. It's going to burn six times longer. So what's the miracle? So he sees an apikoros, and he didn't believe in the miracle. I don't know, it's hard to say an apikoros. He pushed, mistranslated the words in the Gemara. The Gemara is saying that it was a miracle. I don't know if he's... we know he was a conservative rabbi. Marcus Jastrow was a conservative rabbi in America. Then he has another, the Gemara says, Msochim, you should be careful, watch your wife, Mechasna Harishon. So the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara is, the mothers are so happy when they marry off the daughters, so the mother will have a crush on her first son-in-law. So watch out that your wife shouldn't have an affair, Mechasna Harishon. So Jastrow translates, watch out, your wife shouldn't have an affair with her first boyfriend, Chasna Harishon. With the first boy that she went out with. Probably a mistranslation. What's that? Apikursus? I don't know. She has a couple of places where there's a mistranslation in Jastrow. Okay? So inside of the new editions of Jastrow, they printed his whole essay. You got to be careful when you use Jastrow's translation. Yeah, so the Yachreidim say, Emarab daimim al Hashem Tzvokas, Hivaksha Torah mi pihu. Pihu means if he's going to say an original Chiddush, he's going to say, I have a tradition from Rabbi Moshe Feinstein that XYZ. So you can't trust him. If he's not angelic, maybe he made up the whole story. They had a whole scandal recently that a fellow made up a whole story. He was walking with Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. He was there 3 years old when Rabbi Moshe Feinstein passed away. And he gave a whole psak based on the story that never happened. And he told other stories also. He gave out piske halacha based on stories that never happened. So that's the Raksha Torah Mepiv. He's telling you something that you have no other way to make sure that it's correct. So then it's not good. You ask him, where's the discussion on the Yerushalayim Midas? He tells you it's in the second paragraph of Metziah. Thank you very much. That's not Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu. He didn't tell me anything. He just gave me a Maramokam. I asked him, what does the word mean? It tells him the Pirush Hamilas of a Greek word. So fine, no. So what's the problem? So I'll check it in a dictionary later on to find out. He's not going to be Machshulni. Yivakshu Torah Mipiyu means I'm going to ask the person a Shaila. So you should only, Aseilach Rab, should only ask a Shaila. Of such a person who's doim el malach Hashem tzva, because he seems to be angelic, because the whole Torah Shemalpeh has to be transmitted from the Rebbe to the Talmud. So the Rebbe has to be with a lot of milus, because the Talmidim are going to pick up everything from the Rebbe, including all the chesrinus. So you have to pick a person who seems that he doesn't have any chesrinus.
Is anything that's not lasos called lav and horos, or is anything that's not lav and horos called lasos. No,
it has to be a special heter lohabin al haris. If you think that you're going to need this, as a Talmud Chacham, you're going to need this knowledge. Let's say a lot of rabbis have nothing to do with galochim. A rabbi in a shul, the balabatim ask mashah, he doesn't meet up with galochim. Other rabbis have to meet with galochim. So those who have to meet with galochim, depends which city, where do you live? In New York, there are so many rabbis. So some of them have to meet with galochim, most of them don't. So those have to meet with galochim. So we usually assume that there is a heter lohavin al haris. They have to study a little bit about the avodah zarah in order to be able to talk to the clergyman, to the Catholic clergy. That's lohavin al haris. But those who don't have to speak to the galochim, so they have no heter. Lohavin al haris only if you think you're going to need it.
Within that Rashi, so what is Rashi? Rashi says that filu dvar Torah, so he means you can't learn avodah zarah and you can't also learn Torah. It sounds from Rashi that it would be the biggest hatchet that one would have is the Torah.
Right.
And that's also, but certainly secular studies are also.
This fellow Meshumed is going to tell me some Divrei Torah that he remembers when he used to be Jewish. So don't rely on anything that he says, because he's out to be makshul you. He's a gedufe, he's a mesis, he's choshed lohasis. So he can't rely on anything. He was going to tell me he once took a walk with Ramesh Feinstein. He can't believe anything that he says, because he's out to be machshel all the Jews.
So anything which is not Avodah Zarah or Divrei Torah, one can learn from them?
One should be careful, because he may be telling you things in order to lead you on to worship Avodah Zarah. If they're really... Mois and Nefesh, but they're Avodah Zarah, which many of them are, Mesis Avodah Zarah. So what are the three things, Nachma, what are the three things, unrelated things that Rav Zutra Batuvi heard from Rav, and he said them all together, unrelated. Hamaseh Chut Shal Tfir B'Shabbos Chayiv, okay, that's a violation of Teufer. Lamedavim and Amagush Chayiv Misa, you're not permitted to speak to a Magush. Magush, obviously, he's using in the sense of a Gidufei, a Meshumed, an Abed Avodah Zarah, who's a Mesis, who's out to convince everybody else to worship Avodah Zarah. And what was the third thing? If a person knows a little math and he doesn't try to calculate the Tkufis, we frown upon him and we shouldn't talk to him in learning. We should boycott such a person. Why? What's the significance? So the Gemara says, what's the significance of making calculations of Tkufis Mazolas? So the Gemara says, Koledeya, what is that? Amrim Shem and Pazar Amrim Shem Alev, Him Shem Bar Kapor, okay. Koledeya Lachashim Tkufis Mazolas, Ven Chosh, Olav Akos Vemer, there's Poel Hashem Lo Yabitu. They don't try to see the beauty of nature. My Siyot of Lo Ro, they don't look at the beauty of the world that Hashem created. Amram Shmuel ben Achmeni, Minayin she mitzvah lorim b'chashet kuvah nol shor shenemar, ki chach maschum yirasum leini hot. What is that? That's kufas and mazolos. So the halachas gedolos counts this as one of the 630 mitzvahs. B'chashet kufas and mazolos. The Rambam makes big fun of the halachas gedolos. The halachas gedolos was a sefer that was written in the days of the Goyinim. They're not sure exactly who wrote it. They're different opinions. Different opinions in the Rishonim who wrote the Halachas Gedolos. There are different editions of the Halachas Gedolos. They have totally different texts. So yeah, maybe parts were written by this one, parts were written by the other one. It's a problem of authorship. Okay, but Halachas Gedolos from the Tkufas are good. So the halacha is gedolus counts it as one of the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam makes fun of this. Said, "What do you mean? What kind of mitzvah is that?" So the Ramban comes to defend the Rambam. So he says like this: the Rambam counts. The Rambam wrote his sefer mitzvahs, and he counts as one mitzvah kuf nun gimel. Mitzvah says the kuf nun gimel kviyas haluach. He says to establish kiddush achodesh and nibra hashana, the whole kviyas haluach is one mitzvah. So the Ramban says that's what the halachas gedolus meant to say, that they're two separate mitzvahs. Kiddush Achorish is Achorish is Alochem, and Ibar Hashana is this mitzvah. Chishuv Tkufos means to do Ibar Hashana. He interprets that that's what the Gemara meant, and that's what the Bahag meant to count, and that's the same as the Rambam. The only difference is the Rambam holds that Kiddush Achorish and Ibar Hashana is one mitzvah, the one mitzvah being Kviyas Haluach, Tzara Shabbos Kviyas Haluach, all the aspects of the Luach, and the Halachas Gedolus thought that they're two distinct mitzvahs. Like Moshele Ma'adavadam, Kibbut Aviyem. So the Rambam counts Kibbut Aviyem as one mitzvah. The Ramban thinks Aviyem are two different people. So he thinks Kibbut Av is one mitzvah, Kibbut Aviyem is another mitzvah. So similar things like that. It's a machlokes, the Rambam and the Ramban, where he counts something as one mitzvah, two mitzvahs. So that's how the Ramban defends the Halachas Gedolus. He thinks that that's what this mitzvah is. Chishuv. Tkufa just means to do Kriyas Haluach vis-a-vis Ibar Hashana. Okay. Then the Mishnah continues with the listing of the malachas.
So, what happened to the 8 miles of Yisrael, according to the zodiac and saying that?
Mazalas, tkufas and mazalas just means the zodiac, different parts of the zodiac appear at different times of the night, different seasons of the year. That's astronomy. They're just plain astronomy. So that's natural. Astronomy is part of the world of nature. Ein Mazal Yisrael means that to say that everything is Teva, everything is fixed in Teva, so that's what we assume, that history of the Jewish people is Lamala Min HaTeva. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Shesh Yismei Bereishis, so he instituted rules, principles of physics and chemistry and biology and mathematics and principles of history also. So one who knows the rules of history very well can predict in advance what's going to happen in another 20 years. I remember when I was in high school, so one of the required readings that we had was, we had to read an essay by a politician. I forgot his name already, it was so long ago. So he predicted when the Japanese would attack the Americans in Pearl Harbor. So he said how many years it would take, and he said they're going to attack on a Sunday morning in December. And he explained why. He's had to determine how many years it's going to take till they're going to be fed up with the American presence there. And then, and he said the Japanese always like to do a surprise attack. There was no radar then, so you can't wage a battle at night. You can't see where you're dropping bombs. So you have to have the war in the daytime. And the American soldiers would have always celebrate Malava Malka Saturday night very late. And they would go to sleep very late, and they would have a hangover. They would sleep late on Sunday morning. And in December, the nights are the longest in the whole year. So if you want to make a surprise attack, and that's what the Japanese were known for, so the best time to make a surprise attack would be on Sunday morning in December. Just had to figure out how many years. So you figure out how many years. The Kachava, that's what happened. That's when they attacked Pearl Harbor. So it's not because they read his essay and they follow what he said. No, he predicted history. He knew the rules and regulations of history. And he was right. He understood history. So that's called mazel. That there are rules and regulations. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, he established Chukei HaTeva, the principles of physics and biology and chemistry and astronomy. Astronomy is really physics and math. Math and physics, it's all mathematicians, no astronomy. So if someone understands the rules of history, well, they can predict the future. But the Hanhoge of the Jewish history is L'mala Min HaTeva. That's what it means, Ein Mazal Yisrael. Ein Mazal Yisrael means that Jewish history is L'mayla Min HaTeva. You can never predict. When we do mitzvahs, we go up. When we do averus, we go down. The Ramban writes on Chumash. Does it make sense that if we keep the mitzvahs, V'nasati Gishmeichem V'itam, the rain will come when you need it. And if we violate averus, the rain will not come. It's Ratzos HaShemayim L'yota, Matar. But Derech HaTeva doesn't make any sense. Does it make sense? If we violate Shemitah, we'll be expelled from the land. It doesn't make any sense. The Ramban writes, whoever doesn't believe in this klal in the Gemara, Ein Mazal Yisrael, Ein lechelik b'lekei Yisrael. This is a nikar in our amunah. We believe that the history of the Jewish people is l'malam min ha'teva. So that's what the Gemara says in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah. The opening Mishnah in the Gemara discusses Echad b'tishri is Rosh Hashanah l'malchi umas ha'olam, and Echad b'nissan is Rosh Hashanah l'malchi Yisrael. Why is that so? What does it mean? Let's say they appointed a new king. So the minhag used to be that they would write in all the documents and all the official documents how many years it is since Hakamas Amdina, since this king took over. So if the king was just appointed a week before Echad B'Tishri, Rosh Hashanah, when it comes Rosh Hashanah, the Jews would write Shana Shnia L'Melech Pliny. That's if it's Malchi Umas Olam, Goyish history. But if it's Malchi Yisrael, Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then Echad B'Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malchi Yisrael. Why is there a discrepancy? So some say that that was the convention, that was the practice, that was the minig b'zman ha'tanoim. And the Ran, on the first daf on the Rif, first daf in Rosh Hashanah on the Rif, quotes the Ramban and he says, no, this is a halacha. It's not some conventional practice that was the minig, this is the din. Achodesh Asalachem Rosh Chodosh, it means that Jewish history begins with Rosh Chodesh Nissan. And the history of Goyish history begins with Echad B'Tishrei. Why? Because B'Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. It was in Sheshes Mei Bereshis that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the whole world. And he established all of the rules and all the natural rules and regulations of chemistry, physics, mathematics, and biology. So he established at that time the Chukei HaTeva, the rules and regulations of history. So by Umas Olam, they're governed with the rules and regulations of history. So the new year is Echad B'Tishrei. That's when we celebrate the creation of the world. So everything is al pi chukei ha'teva. And since Jewish history is l'mayla man ha'teva, and Chodesh Nisan is b'nissan nigalu b'nissan asirin le'igol. It's the Chodesh of Nisim, the month that represents hanhog of l'mayla man ha'teva. So that's why Jewish history, if it's a melech from Malchi Yisrael, Jewish history, the Rosh Hashanah, the Malchi Yisrael, is not Echad B'Tishrei, it's rather Echad B'Nissan. The Gemara says sometimes you have a Jewish king who acts like a goy. He says totally like a goy. So then he has a din like a Malchi Umas Olam. If he's totally secular, let's say Medina Yisrael today is not as religious as we would like it to be. The government is not the way we would like it to be. But you can't say that it's secular. They have kashrus in the army, they have Shabbos, they don't observe it the way they should, but they still have many things are clearly it's a Jewish state. If it wouldn't be a Jewish state, what are the Arabs fighting so much? Why are the Russians against Medina? So obviously the perception in the whole world is that it's a Jewish Medina. That's clear, it's a Jewish Medina. There are those who are pushing to make it into a totally secular Medina. L'chol toshavel. It shouldn't be a Medina Yehudis for the Jewish people. It should be a secular Medina. If and when they will succeed, then it will no longer be a Malchus Yisrael. Okay? But they haven't yet succeeded. They haven't yet succeeded.
Within, from that drasha, the pasuk makes it seem like there's a certain type of knowledge or study that's Jewish, related to Judaism, and the guy will look at us and say, oh, it's so smart, it's so amazing. But it seems like he's saying, no, just study astronomy.
No, the Jewish calendar is based on astronomy. It's fantastic that they knew so much astronomy. It's not accurate. That's why the Saint Alamati keeps on moving, and it's so inaccurate now. But it keeps on shifting every century. Keeps on shifting another day.
3 days and 400 years.
3 days and 400 years. So it's imprecise, but it was unbelievable that they knew so much astronomy that they figured out how to save Saint Alamati, and they knew the astronomy that they did know. So that's part of our religion, is astronomy. It's crucial to know if the Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra Hashanah. It's a little bit inaccurate, but it's surprising that it was as accurate as it was.
But the regular calendar is more accurate. It's the Tikufas, which we use, the less accurate.
What do you mean, the regular calendar?
The regular calendar, meaning for Bien Kovea,
which he was Hashanah Muberes.
And Rosh Hashanah. We use Chavadah's Cheshbon, which is more accurate than Shmuel's Cheshbon, which we use for
But even the one that's not so accurate is also surprisingly accurate for that time, that they knew so much about astronomy. So part of the Jewish religion, the Umas Olam are very taken back. They're very surprised about that. We knew so much astronomy. We needed it for our religion. We had it.
So he's saying that the Chacham have a responsibility to, like, be actual science, like astronomers?
Yeah, you have to be astronomers for the purpose of being Koveh Luach. Correct. We have to be scientists to be Koveh, whether this, I was just talking before about the Sylvester Lulav. Every year they come up with a new Shaila. Every day there's a new Shaila in the world. So you have to know a lot of science to know whether this is an acceptable Lulav or not. You have to know a lot of agriculture. You have to know a lot of... whether this is a mitnamina, mimshenamina, is a nisar klaim or not, which lulavim are called kapas tmarim, which are not called kapas tmarim. Rav Moshe, many others held that the canary lulav is not acceptable. So now there's a janushala, what about the Sylvester lulav? Maybe it's closer to the lulav than the canary. So you have to know a lot of science for that. So that there is interface between science and Torah. So whenever we, that's Rabbi Tendler. Rabbi Tendler was Rabbi YU for many years. He was the Torah Mada in one person. So this shows Umas Olam have respect for the Jewish religion when they realize that we have to be so much into science, we have to be in the cutting edge of science in order to pasken all the Shabbos properly, in order to know that we're observing the mitzvahs properly. You have to know a lot of physics in order to pasken a lot of Shabbos and the Hilchos Shabbos, about all the electrical gadgets and so on. You have to know a lot of biology and medicine in order to pass in the medical shams. So that gains respect from the Muslim. Whenever there's a contact, whenever there's interface between science and the mitzvah satayra, and the Jews give a whole bira halacha, so that gains respect for the Jewish religion. Okay, now we're up to the Gemara Tzotzvi. The Mishnah has the listing off all the Lam Tesavis Malachas. Atzeda is a Malachas. Not only a Tzvi, if you trap any wild animal, Atzotzvi. Okay. So Atot Chalozen was what Tesis presented, what seemed to be a contradiction between the Yerushalmi and the Bavli quoting the Tosefta. So that the Mepharshim explained. That one can, we figure that out in class. It could be that they're talking about two different cases. Yerushalmi is saying that sometimes there's no tzeda if the snail is there in front of you. So it's nitzad v'yom, it's not going anywhere. But if it's on the bottom of the Mediterranean, you have to go scuba diving for it. So then it would be a violation of tzeda. What's the machlok zabir in the Rabbanan? Tzia. When you squeeze out the gland that has the trelis in it, So that's a machlekes, whether that's disha. Why should it not be disha? The Rambam holds that choyvel, if he squeezes out dam. The Gemara says later that a choyvel is a mechal Shabbos ben HaTorah. Chavol is a chilul Shabbos, causing bleeding. What's the malocha? So there were three opinions in the Rishonim. So the Rambam says that it's chay mishum disha. It's a violation of disha. He's squeezing out the dam from the balchai. Rashi said that it's tovei, and Tosfos disagrees with the Rashi that it's until it's neshama. Based on the pasuk ki adamu anefesh, the pasuk says that the blood circulation keeps all the animals alive, and the Gemara has a lashon malikot lekula, malikot lepalga. The Gemara says it's benegia to this, that just like if I kill the whole organism, that's ritzicha. So if I cause bleeding, that dam is no longer keeping the organism alive. So that's called kotla palga, malikot lekula. You would be in violation of the malach of Hashochet, the Tilis and Shama, so Malikot Lepalga, since Hadam Ha'Nefesh, so that's a violation also of the Tilis and Shama. So Tosfos asked Akash over here, but when you squeeze out the Trelis, isn't that itself the Tilis and Shama? Ki Hadam Ha'Nefesh, the big Tosfos, Ke'echad Aleitzel Tzive, it says Ki Hadam Ha'Nefesh, they're presenting their Shita. Tosfos Shita is corresponds to what it says in the Yerushalmi. From these three sheets, Rashi, Tosfos, and the Rambam, the Rashi says that Hachoyvel, if he causes bleeding, it's a malacha of Tzaveya. And Tosfos says it's until it's Neshama, Malikot Lukul, Malikot Lepalga. And the Rambam said that it's Disha, that it's Dosh, like squeezing out the Jews. So the Yerushalmi says Beferish, like Tosfos. So that's why Tosfos' sheet is the one that's generally accepted. We assume that the malacha is until it's Neshama. So Tosfos asks the Kashan, when he squeezes out the Trelis from the Chalozin, that's mamish n'tilas neshama. So what does the Gemara say? No, it's not chay mishum n'tilas neshama. That's mamish what he's doing. Isn't that a doma hamiskavim? So the Rabbeinu Tam answers no. Heshev lo, Rabbeinu Tam. See the last three lines in the Tosfos. Keich deleitzel tzivi. This was the kash of the Ri. The Ri was the nephew of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Ri Azok in Bala Tosfos was the nephew of the Rabbeinu Tam. So heshev lo, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam answered to the Ri that the Tcheles is not the blood that circulates in the snail. It's a separate gland that has tcheles in it. If you squeeze out the blood, that's right. That's in tzilus and shama. But this is mifkid pokid. The Gemara has a loshen. The Gemara has, Tosis quotes the loshen. The Gemara has a discussion in the first perik in Ksubis. A man marries a girl who was never married before. So she has dam besulim. So when they're going to have bir rishayna, the first time they're going to be together, so the dam besulim will probably come out. So the question is, are you permitted to have, there's a malacha of chabura, b'shabbos, are you permitted to do bir rishayna on a psula on Shabbos? What's the question? So there's one question, it's not 100% vadois that dam is going to come out. There's a possibility to do bir rishayna on a psula, and the dam will not come out. But you know in advance, it should be sofik derais and luchumra. I know in advance that very often, perhaps most of the time, when a boy marries a girl who was never married before, so there's going to be a haitzoas adam. So that's called dobashayna miskabin. I'm doing a pula hamuteris, tashmish is mutter on Shabbos, but I know that it may or may not result in a pula hasur, it may or may not result in chabura, in bleeding. So what's the din of a dobashayna miskabin? So that's a machlekes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon, whether dobashayna miskabin, that's one of the three major machlekes in Reb Yehuda, Reb Shimon, and Hilcha Shabbos. One is dobashayna miskabin, mutter rasa, one is malacha shen tzvicha legufa, whether it's deraisa derabanan, and the third is by mukta, whether mukta is zasa, mukta is mutter. So the Gemara has this discussion in the first perik in Ksubas. Taisis before quotes it. Taisis before at the end of the Dibar Mascha Mesasik Oetzel and Tilos and Shama, they say Chemucha perikam the Ksubas dafeh mebeis do amar. The Gemara discusses whether dam besulim is chiburim mecheber. Or is it mifkid pocket? What's the shaila? If the dam is mifkid pocket, the dam besulim is just sitting there, that's not the blood that circulates around in the body, so you can't say ki adamu anevesh, there's no iser. Tosis claims the whole iser of oisa chabure causing bleeding in a balchai is because of the tilus and shama, because the pasuk says ki adamu anevesh, because the blood circulating in the body keeps the organism alive. Somehow the world didn't know about this. All the goyish doctors didn't know the pasuk in chumash. They didn't discover the blood circulation till a few centuries ago, till the 1600s, I think. They didn't know Pasuk and Chumash, they didn't know the Rabbein Tam. It's all Gemaras. Everybody knew that. It's all Gemaras. So the Gemara has, it sounds as if the Gemara has a Sufik in Metzias, a biological Sufik. Is the Dam Besulim that comes out, is that Mifkid pocket that's sitting there? Or is it no, Chiburi Mechaber, it's part of the blood that circulates in the whole body. So if it's chibur mecheber, it's ke'adam ha'nefesh, then it's a malacha. If it's mifkid pocket sitting there, it's not circulating, so you can't apply ke'adam ha'nefesh. The pashta says that there ain't no such thing. Of course it's chibur mecheber. What's the sofik in the Gemara? So mizdam, you have to interpret, it's not a sofik in Metzias, a biological sofik. It's a halachic sofik. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created every girl with dam besulim. And the Rabban Shalom created every animal with blood circulation. And he said he wants the blood ki adamu hanefesh, the blood should circulate in the body. But the Rabban Shalom created men and women that they should get married and the dam besulim should come out. So can you really say on the dam besulim that comes out that was intended ki adamu hanefesh malikot l'kula, malikot l'palga? No, that's what the Gemara said. Maybe I should treat it as if it were chiburim, as if it were mifkid pocket. And Matthias, of course it's not mifkid pocket. Of course it's chibur mecheber. The dam besulim is regular blood circulation. Dam anida is not. Dam anida is taka mifkid pocket. You can tell if a woman has a dam and she doesn't know whether it's dam from a mako, a dam nido, there's a way to test it to find out how much oxygen there is. Because the dam that circulates in the body, dam mako is going to have a higher percentage of oxygen, higher degree of oxygen in it. And the dam hanido just sits there. That's taka mifkid pocket. That's not ki adam ha'nefesh. That's not circulate. It's going to have a much lower percentage of oxygen. So there is a scientific test that they have. In case a woman has a riyas dam, and the woman keeps on having riyas dam, she doesn't know whether it's dam maka, a dam hanido. So today they have a way to test it. It's going to be expensive. So you don't have to go to the hospital all the time and keep on making bedikas to tell, well, that's a problem, okay? But there is a way to test. But the dam besulim is regular dam. Chiburim mecheber, that's regular dam that's circulating. Gemara is mesupik, not a sofik in Metzias. I don't think the Gemara meant a scientific sofik in Metzias where this mifkid pocket, the dam sulam is sitting there. Gemara means to say that pasuk in Chumash, because of which we aser oisa chabura b'shabbos, which pasuk ki adam wa nefesh, that makes sense on the blood that circulates, except for the dam b'sulam. Dam b'sulam, Rebbe Shalom created every girl has dam b'sulam. A normal girl has dam b'sulam. So that dam was never intended in the first place that it should be keep her alive. That was intended to come out when they have the rishayim. So that the Gemara has a suffix. Can you apply the pasuk, the gzeres hakasuv, ki adam hu anefesh, to the dam b'sulam or not? And if it does apply, so then you have a shayla, but it's a dovish ani miskaven. It's not about dois. It's not a psikresha that every time you do bir rishayna with a besula, it's always going to be mitzi dam. The likelihood is that it probably will. There will be dam besulim, but there's a possibility that it won't be. So that's not a psikresha. That's called a dovish ani miskaven. I'm doing a dovish ani miskaven means I'm doing a pula hamuteris, which may or may not result in a pu'ula hasura. So that should have been Safik Deraisa L'chumer. If so, you should have said like this. What should one have said? One should have said the following. If I'm doing a Pula Hamuteris, let's say I'm moving furniture. It's mutter to move a table from one place to the other. It's not a malach, it's in the backyard. And it's soft earth. I don't know, the earth is soft and the table is a little heavy. I don't know whether by moving the table it's going to make a charitz or not. If it makes a charitz, then it's a violation of chofer. So the shaila is, am I permitted to move the table, which is a pula hamateris, knowing in advance that may or may not make a charitz? So you ought to say like this: a safik, if it's a malacha deraisa to make a charitz, then safik deraisa lechumer. If it's only an isa derabbanan, the Gemara says making a charitz, the normal way to make a charitz is you take a shovel and you dig a charitz. If you move furniture and you make a charitz, that's kalachaya. That's not the normal way. So the Gemara says the worst it's going to be, even if you are making a charitz, a guy rod to meet the kiss of his sauce about his kavan masal charitz. You're going to schlep a piece of furniture on the soft earth. So even if it will make a charitz, it's only going to be the rabbanon causes kalachayat. So you really should have said, if it's a malacha deraisa that may or may not result, safik deraisa lechumra. If the worst it can be is going to be a nisa derabbanon, should have said safik derabbanon lekulam. So we don't say like that. We paskin like Reb Shimon that dovishen miskaven is mutter, even if it may turn out to be a nisa deraisa. Knowing well in advance, I know in advance that it may or may not result in an isa deraisa, is mutter. That's a pella. Why should it be mutter? Why shouldn't you say safik deraisa luchumer? And Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. He holds safik deraisa luchumer. Rabbi Yehuda holds dovashen miskaven is asa. But Rabbi Yehuda holds dovashen miskaven is asa, even if the worst that can happen is going to be a derabbanan. He holds, you're not allowed to be gorer adam eat in case of a sapsom. Because it may make a charitz, but the Gemara says even if you do make a charitz, it's kalach hayad. So the worst it's going to be is only going to be the rabbanon. So why does Rabbi Yehuda say that that's osur? I understand Rabbi Yehuda that he says dov v'sheni miskaven is osur on the level of the raisa, sofik the raisa l'chumer. But if the worst it can be is the rabbanon, shouldn't you say sofik the rabbanon l'kula? So there is such a girsa. Rashi had such a girsa in Yuma. We mentioned a couple of weeks ago that there was a gigantic tesis in Yuma that goes on and on and on. Where is it? Starts on Lamed Dalet on the base, I think. This starts Lamed Dalet on the base, this long tesis, and it goes on till over here, till Lamed Hamed Al. It's a long tesis. And they discussed 10 different topics. They could have broken it down to 10 different tesis, but they didn't. So this is one of the topics that Tosis has over there, that Rashi had a girsa in the Gemara that Rabbi Yehuda holds Dovashen and Miskaben is only Osur if the worst it may turn out to be is an Issa deraisa. Worst it's going to turn out to be is going to be an Issa derabbanan, so Sveka derabbanan lekula. So Tosis says Rashi is not right, because Rabbi Yehuda says that by Gora to meet the Kisa b'Sapso, the worst it's going to be is Choresh Kalachayad. And still the Gemara gives that as an example of the Machlegs of Yehuda Reb Shimon, where the Dovashen and Miskaben is Osur Amutam. The Machlegs of Yehuda Reb Shimon is both on their rices and on their rabbans. Machlegs of Yehuda Reb Shimon. Yeah, how do we paskin? So we paskin like Reb Shimon. We paskin like Reb Shimon. The dov sheinim is kaven is mutter. How do we paskin like malacha shein tzvicha l'gufa? Also, rov harishanim paskin like Reb Shimon. That ain't tzvicha l'gufa is only an isa derabban. The Rambam and the Balamor, two major rishanim, but they were outvoted. The Rambam and the Balamor paskin like Reb Yehuda. There ain't tzvicha l'gufa is an isa deraisa, and Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion, is not like the Rambam and the Balamor. We assume like Tosfos that ain't tzvicha l'gufa is only the Rabban. That by Mukta also, The author of the Zohar wins again. Reb Shimon Baichai. Reb Shimon is Reb Shimon Baichai. We pass like Reb Shimon. That we're mekel on all the dinim of Mukhtar. Reb Yehuda was very machmer, and we pass like Reb Shimon. That is mekel. We'll have to learn all the Gemaras about it. So we have to figure out why does Reb Shimon. We have to figure out why does Reb Shimon hold the Dov Shein Miskaben as Mutter? Why does he hold? Why shouldn't he say Sofik Deraisa Lechumra? It may turn out to be an Issa Deraisa. Why shouldn't you say Sofik Deraisa Lechumra? So there is a din of Misasek. The Gemara is going to use the term Misasek here, so we better define what the term means. So we have there is a Mishnah in Krisis that talks about. Krisis, the beginning of Krisis, talks about a person who was Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig, Eit Chela B'Dam B'Shegig, Baal Ishtanida B'Shegig, Baal Eshishish B'Shegig. He did an Aver Sheesh B'Koris, but he violated the B'Shegig. So the Torah says, whoever violated an Aver B'Shegig, which if he would have violated the Mezah, would have been Chayv Koris, he has to bring a Korban Chatos. So the whole beginning of the Masechta talks about Chatos. So the Mishnah says, if a person knows that today Shabbos, he didn't know that you're not allowed to carry. He never heard of the Yisrael Haitzor. So that's Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig, he has to bring a Chatos. He knows you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, but his watch stopped on Erev Shabbos, and he thought that it's still Erev Shabbos. So he still continues to write, but he still continues to carry. And then he realizes his watch stopped. It's already, he goes outside, and he sees that it's Shabbos already. It's dark outside. So that's Mechal Shabbos B'Shegig. But what if a person knows that it's Shabbos, and he knows you're not allowed to carry, and he has something in his pocket over here? Someone put a $100 bill in his pocket, and he doesn't always walk around with $100 in the pocket. So that's called misasik. He didn't even realize he had no kavanas asiyah at all. A guy opens the door to the bathroom and all of a sudden the lights go on. He didn't know the lights go on. He didn't know the lights are going to go on. Legamre, that's misasik. He didn't have kavanas asiyah at all. Didn't know what was happening. So the Gemara learns out, the Mishnah says that one is Mechal Shabbos, the misasik is not chayv chatas because the pasuk says in Parshas Vayikra, with respect to Chiyav Chatos, who knows Chumash? Sheyach the Bishgaga says you have to bring a Chatos. Ohoda lov Chatos Ashechot Abba. That's how the Loshen reads. Ohoda means Imhoda. Imnoda lov. When he becomes aware of the fact, when his idea sachet, that is Mechal Shabbos, that he did in Avera, Ohoda lov means Kishenoda lov. Imhoda lov. Ohoda lov Chatos Ashechot Abba. So Rabbi Shua says, and Rabbi Shua is a Tana, he says in the Mishnah increases, Ashechot Abba Pratla Misasik. If he didn't realize that he was doing, they had no Kavanas Asi at all, then you're not Chayv Achatos. So there's a, that's a Mishnah. Rabbi Shua says in Mishnah, Ashechot Abba Pratla Misasik. Then you have the Gemara, and that daf quotes Shmuel. Shmuel is the first generation of Amoraim. He lives significantly after the days of Rabbi Shua, is an Amora. He comes up with a new din. Misasik b'Shabbos Potter because Malachas Machshavas Asveter is a lack of Malachas Machshavas. He didn't even have Kavanas Asiyah, so he's not chayv at all. So Tosfos is bothered with the kasha. What did Reb Shmuel have to rediscover America? The Tana Reb Yeshua says a pasuk Ashechot Abar Pratla Misasik. Why does Shmuel need a new pasuk of Malachas Machshavas Asveter? So Tosfos gives an answer, and Tosfos is printed on the page. So we're so used to learning the Tosfos that everybody was so brainwashed by the Tosfos. Everybody thinks there's no other way to go. That's the Pashup Shat. Rav Shach has in a Sefer, his eyes were opened up. One of his Talmidim, and he says by name Shmuel Deutsch, he's a Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim now, he pointed out to me that the Rambam doesn't agree with Tosfos. Rav Shach writes, I couldn't believe it. He showed me a Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, and the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayis, and the Meiri always dances after the Rambam. Meiri also says like that. In all the Masechtas, the Meiri and the Rambam hold that the din of Misasek is only in Hilchos Shabbos. There is no such din. Misasek in Kol HaTarkula is Chayv Chatos. Only in Hilchos Shabbos Pata from a Chatos. So Shmuel had to touch up what Rabbi Shua said in the Mishnah. Rabbi Shua makes his statement in the Mishnah, Shechot Abba Pata Misasek. Sounds like Misasek is not Chayv Chatos on any Avera. So Shmuel says it's not true. What Rabbi Shua said is misleading. Shechot Abba goes on every Chayv Chatos. It's only a din in Hilchos Shabbos. But Tosfos does not think so. Tosfos thinks that Rabbi Shua's din is a din in all Chayv Chatos. Whenever you do an Aver, Rabbi Shua Gege, Chayv Chatos. But if you did it, you have to do an Aver that's done of Koris, Shigos HaChatos, But if you do it, b'misasik, you're not chayv chatos. So what does Shmuel need a pasuk, melechas machshevas asur Torah? Prat l'misasik is not only a din in Hilchos Shabbos, it's a din in kol haTorah kula. So Tosfos explains that two different kinds of misasik. Let's say the guy, here's the Tosfos on Ayin Beis, on the base, the top Tosfos. The top Tosfos, Ayin Beis, on the base. And it's another Mesichtis in Sanhedrin, Croesus, all over, a few Mesichtis. Tosfos repeats it all over the place. Tosfos explains the two different. Let's say it's, they finished eating on Friday night, and it's dark outside, and he asked the guests who are eating by him, would you like to have some apples? Would you like to have some oranges? They say they like pears. Okay, he's going to the backyard, he's going to pluck off pears. So he goes, b'mezid b'miskabin, to pluck off pears on Shabbos, but it's dark, he can't see. So it turns out, when he brings it in, it turns out that he brought in oranges. It was miskabin lachtach m'chuber zeh, b'chotach m'chuber acher. So he had intention to do a malacha, and he did a malacha. So that wouldn't be covered with the din ha-shechot ha-bor prat l'misasek. He intended to do an aver, and he did the aver. He had kavanas asir. That's what Shmuel added on to Reb Yeshua in the Mishnah. Ha-shechot ha-bor prat l'misasek, if there was no kavanas asir at all, that's a din in kol ha-torah kula. Nebuchad, misasek, nebuchad chatas. And Shmuel added on that in Malachas Machsheves HaSetorah, there's kavan lachtach m'chub ezeh, b'chotach m'chub eracher. If he wanted large apples and he got small apples, he wanted red apples and he got yellow apples, that's not such a difference. But if he got apples instead of pears or something else, and gansan, the wrong kind of a thing, so Tosfos said that's why you need two different psukim. So here there's an important machlokes between Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Nesivos. What exactly does the din of Misasig mean in Kol HaTorah Kula? So we got to start tomorrow from this machlokes. Okay, we'll be at it tomorrow.